How y'all doing? Hey, I wanted to come out for a minute and just, I'm not preaching, by the way. I know you're disappointed. Hey, I'll get my chance in a couple of weeks. Just hold on. Hey, my name's Joey, for those who don't know me. I'm one of the elders here at 24. And I wanted to come out and just kind of let you know, we're kind of going to celebrate that we're almost 6 years old. In January, we're going to celebrate our sixth anniversary as a church. And that's incredibly exciting to see what God's done, how many lives have been changed through the church and the obedience of a lot of people listening to God's vision. And you know, especially our pastor Chris, he's really worked hard over the last 6+ years. There was even probably a year or more before the church actually officially started that he really put in a lot of work listening to God and praying through what this church would look like. And it looks a lot like what the vision he originally had. He's been doing this now for 6 years with very little rest, very little break. So what we've done as an elder board, we've asked Chris to take a sabbatical for about 4 weeks coming up in the month of November. So he'll have a week of vacation and then 3 weeks kind of as a sabbatical leave. And we've prayed through that this past week at staff retreat through where God's leading us over the next five or six years. And we feel like that would be a great opportunity for Chris to get some rest and really be able to get alone with God, kind of see where God is leading him and where God is leading the church over the next few years. The church looks really not a lot like it did when we first started. So there's been lots of changes that we've prayed through and felt God leading us through. And it's been to God's glory, I feel. And I feel like we can do the same thing in the future. Whether it be through planting churches, growing this church, making sure that our community knows Jesus. Those are the important things. And I think it's important that Chris takes some time to where he can really invest in his family, invest in God's calling. So we're going to ask you guys to pray for Chris and his family over the next few weeks. He'll be here, of course, this week, preaching this week, and then next week will be his last week for 4 weeks. And you might even get the chance to hear me speak in a few weeks. So, if they let me. I'm going to ask Chris to come on out with me. I'm going to pray for Chris. I want you guys to continue to pray for he and Aaron and their family as they kind of take some time away. And by the way, we're going to take his cell phone too. So if y'all try to call him, you might get me. And I don't know if you want that. So no. Or Ben will have it or something. We're going to have to hold him down to take it from him though. So, but no, we want this to be a time of rest for Chris. And you want to hand that to me now?
No, it's got my counter on.
Okay, I got you.
My counter on.
Let me pray for Chris, guy, and I'd appreciate you guys praying for him as well. Father God, thank you so much for the things that you do for us, God.
Yes.
Thank you so much for Jesus and your gospel. God, I pray it's what drives us as Christians and what drives our church. God, I thank you for Chris. God, the vision you've given him, God, the obedience he's given you, God. I just pray, God, that you will speak into his heart over the next few weeks, God, to really give him a vision for the future of 24 Church and many other churches that may come as a result. God, I pray that you'll give him rest, God, in unity with his family. God, we love you, God. I pray that you also be with the elders that will be filling in for him while he's gone. Thank you for your many, many blessings, God.
Yes.
We love you, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, thank you, buddy. Thank you to everybody that's been a part of this and have worked so hard. There's so many of you that have put in hours that so many people never know, including myself. But I know of many, many, many people in our church that have just given sacrificially of their time and resources and everything. Thank you, for those of you that have been with us for 6 years, to those who have been with us for 6 days. It's awesome. It's good to see what God is doing. It's good to be a part of that. I'm thankful. I am thankful for the time off. I'm looking forward to it. We don't know exactly what we're doing yet, since it's been kind of a sudden thing to try to figure all that out. We're not there yet, but some of it's a little weird to think about, especially like for a month, because the church is our life, the ministry is our life, and you guys are our friends. And I said this earlier. You know, I have a lot of other friends outside of our church, but a lot of them that I go way back with, it might be the people that I might want to go hang out with. I'm honestly a little afraid that some of them probably think I'm a bad friend at this point in time because of how busy our life has become and how inundated with just the church it's been. So you just be praying for us during that time. We really appreciate it. And thank you so much for your support and allowing us to have this time to take a break, to rest, to take a little vacation, and also to be able to take some time just to pray and seek the Lord about what God is wanting us to do as a church, and for me personally even too. So it's exciting stuff, really exciting stuff. Before I get into this, I wanted to say you can't have my phone, by the way. I wanted to say this afternoon we're going to the pumpkin patch at Owens Farm. If you can go with us this afternoon, it'd be awesome. Bring your kids, and you know, we'll have an awesome time out there hanging out. And I don't know, maybe we'll get in a pumpkin fight or something. That'd be kind of cool. Anybody heard of anybody having pumpkin fights? I don't know if they'll let us do that. They probably won't. But I know some people. Maybe so. We'll see. But no, this afternoon, we're going to meet there at 3 o'clock. We're not meeting here. We're just meeting straight out there. If you don't know where Owens Farm is, go hit the internet, get directions, all that stuff. It's easy to find. It's kind of Ashland City-ish direction, kind of like you're going toward Clarksville. So I'm terrible sometimes with location names. But anyway, it'll be an awesome time just to get to hang out and fellowship. Would love to get to hang with you guys this afternoon, 3 o'clock. Bring the fam. It does cost to get in, so bring some money to get in. This morning, we are starting a new series, and I've been excited about this. I've honestly wanted to do a series on this book for, I don't want to say a long time, but for some time. And for some reason, I've pushed back on it many times, and I think partly because I do love this book so much. I think sometimes I push back on things for fear that I'm pushing back because I want to do it so much, and it not be so much what God wants to do. Bear with me, all right? Just over the last several months, we've been praying and seeking the Lord about what to be going into and studying together as a church. And the book of Philippians came up. And as it came up, I mentioned to somebody, you know, that I really wanted to always do this. And they said, man, why don't you just do it? And I was like, well, you know, I kind of told them my thing. I just told you. And they said, I think it would be great. And the more I prayed about it, the more I recognized, you know, there's something about this book that is probably perfect for our church at this time in its life. And so we just, collectively, I think I brought it up, and, you know, we all just said, yeah, this is what we need to do. And so we decided to go for this. And so today we're starting the book of Philippians. There's some things about the book of Philippians that set it apart to some degree that I think are important to note. Number one, it's written by Paul. If you don't know who Paul is an apostle. He kind of came along, you know, a little after, you know, Christ's ministry. But Paul was a Christian killer, and he was, you know, basically running around the countryside killing putting people in jail that were proclaiming Christ and teaching about Jesus and all these things. And so you have this amazing thing that happens with Paul where he's walking down a road and God just, you know, smacks him upside the head with this amazing, miraculous thing that happens. I'll let you go find it and see for yourself, and just changes Paul's life. And just that in of itself, that alone is this reminder that I think that we need as the church, that there are people out there that we don't think God can change their heart and change their mind, and He can. And it is not our place ever for us to limit what God wants to do in somebody's life. And so, you know, Paul, just this, you know, crazy dude, you know, God saves him, and of course, you know, he's still kind of crazy, so he becomes a Jesus freak, if you will. He winds up writing half the New Testament. God uses him just to do amazing, amazing things. We see, you know, his humility. We see his pain. We see all of these things. He just kind of puts himself out there. You know, he's just one of those people that, you know, just he doesn't hold back what he's thinking, what he's feeling. It's just there, and God ends up using it as his word so many times. And so we have several books that he wrote, which are known as epistles, which are written as letters to specific churches. One of the things that you got to love about Paul was Paul was traveling, planting churches, encouraging ministers. I mean, just some amazing ministry. And in the process, he would write these letters to churches. And this book is one of those letters to a church in a city called Philippi. Philippi was in Macedonia. And if you go to Acts 16, I read from Acts 16 just a few minutes ago when we did the baptism. In Acts 16, we see Paul first going to Philippi. We see that God lays it on Paul's heart to go to the Macedonian region. He goes to the region. Go again, Acts 16. I want you to go read Acts 16 today. Check it out. Some really cool stuff happens in this passage of Scripture. In just this one chapter alone, we see God transform the hearts of several people through Paul's ministry in Philippi. And he basically ends up kind of talking back to that, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, in the passage that we're studying today. And so Paul, just being used by God, just awesome God, goes to this city, ends up helping to plant this church in Philippi, to which he later on is writing this letter to, this epistle. There's a difference, though, in this epistle. This epistle kind of stands apart from the other epistles that we see. So many of the epistles, so much of Paul's writing, especially written to the church, is oftentimes done in a way of correction because they needed it. You know, we need correction sometimes. We need correction a lot of times, especially when it comes to our spiritual walk and where we are with the Lord and where we're not with the Lord. And God uses Paul to do a lot of pushing on the early church, the early New Testament churches that we see in all of these letters. And so in all of these letters, there's all this like, you got to do this and you got to do that, and you're not doing this and you're not doing that. You got to see this, and all the while proclaiming the gospel of Christ and all this. But then in Philippians is different. It's not a letter of correction. Philippians is a letter where Paul spends the majority of his time praising the church, thanking the church, and encouraging the church, pushing the church to move forward. Now you see our little tagline here, which I think is awesome. Ben helped come up with this week. Philippians, a study in trajectory. And the whole idea behind this is understanding that God is calling us at all times to move forward. There is no I have arrived moment, okay? And this is easy for people in the church to come to sometimes. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've been in a church for very long, you know, one day you kind of recognize, you know, well, I'm just kind of going through the motions. I'm doing the same thing. We're getting up, we're going. You know, we're not going to push to have to try to do this or that or whatever. You know, we finally got a building. We finally have done this. We're finally doing this way. You know, everything's finally done. And it's not. It's never done. You see, the mission that Christ has called us to, the mission of God, is a mission that will last until his return. We'll see that in this passage. This book, written by Paul, was written by Paul while he was in jail. It is like the making of one of the best movies. I mean, if you just think about it. Think about this guy in jail, and he's in jail because he was teaching and preaching about Jesus and wasn't backing down on his beliefs and, you know, wouldn't say otherwise no matter what they might do to him. Was beaten, tortured. You see that even in Acts 16. And by the way, in Acts 16, he's put in jail in Philippi. Once, and then God lets him out. It's amazing. You got to go read the story. It's just amazing. And, you know, and then here you've got this whole book that Paul writes to the church at Philippi. And again, he's in jail. He's in shackles, in chains, probably being tortured, facing death. And he writes the book in the Bible that is known as the Book of Joy. That'll humble you. When I worked at the record label many years ago, I got a letter one day from a guy who was in jail. His name was Stephen. Stephen sent a letter, and he had some kind of deal worked up with the warden, and God had changed Stephen's life since he had been in prison. He'd come to know Christ, and he had the label I worked for was a Christian label at the time, and we had several popular Christian artists or whatever, and he was writing to see if we could possibly send them tapes, CDs, whatever we had for them to play over their intercom system. He had worked out a deal with the warden. Apparently, the intercom in the jail that he was in, you could either turn it off or turn it on in your cell. And so if you wanted to turn it on and he was playing, you know, whatever it was, the Newsboys or whatever, you know, CD he decided to play, the warden was letting him do this. So it was kind of amazing, really. And so he sent me this letter asking if we could send him stuff. Well, the great thing was at the time, of course, I'm like 20 years old, 19 years old or something, and somehow have managed to, you know, follow up a whole bunch of people that left their jobs and one day just kind of found myself in a job that was a corporate position just months before I had, you know, taken on a non-paid male guy intern, you know, whatever, go boy position, you know. And then all of a sudden, here I am, I'm over all this stuff. A lot of things I'm over the mailroom. I'm over all the product that we had in-house. I'm over the studio. I don't know what all, I can't even remember all the stuff I was over. But a couple of these things worked together because we got the mail. So I got the letter. So I just took it upon myself, since I was also over the product room, I told one of the guys, I said, put him a box together of everything we've got. Let's send it to him. And so we sent him like two or three boxes of stuff. Posters, and he wasn't even looking for all this stuff. He probably got in trouble before it was over with. I don't know. But anyway, he gets all this stuff. And then later on, you know, one day, you know, it's just, you know, on down the road or whatever, I'm having a bad day in my office. And on my bad day, I get a letter from Stephen. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, this is the guy that we sent all the stuff to. Well, I open it up. And he is just thanking me and encouraging me. Because I'd written him a letter back and just told him a little bit of who I was and what God was doing in my life at that time. Told me he was praying for me. That was a humbling moment for me. Recognized that in my office that day, on whatever bad thing was going on that I was having such a bad day about, really kind of came into view when I got the letter from the guy in jail who was like, God bless you. Thank you so much. What you have done is providing ministry here, and people are hearing the gospel. It humbled me. That's this letter that we're about to read from a guy in jail who's going to encourage a church. And let's face it, we can all use it. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 1 of Philippians. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Basically, Paul's just saying this is to everyone in the congregation. We've got everybody covered here. To everybody that's there, including overseers, which would be the elders and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I want to stop right there And I want us to look at this. I want us to kind of just dissect this a little bit and see, you know, what's going on here. What is Paul saying to the church at Philippi? In the very beginning here, in verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." I love that verse. Let me ask you this question. How, don't answer out loud, but think about all the churches that you've been to in the past, including this one. Think about all the memories that you have of those churches. You probably got some really good memories of me in those churches. Some of you, if you were really honest, could probably say, "I've got some really bad memories of some of those churches." You might have bad memories of this church. Know why? It's full of sinners. Paul, in this verse, says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." He is able to say that in everything I can remember about you, church at Philippi, I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for it. Who can say that about anybody? I mean, that's huge. That's such a huge deal. I mean, my wife can't say that about me a lot of days. He is thankful for them from jail. And in verse 4, it goes on, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all," he's praying for all of them, "making my prayer with joy." We don't think about making our prayers very much, do we? But a lot of times, if we're real honest, that's the way we put together a prayer. We make a prayer, right? I mean, you know, a lot of times we're just spitting stuff out. You know, we're not really thinking about it or whatever. But, you know, however it is, we're making a prayer. And what ends up happening is many times the condition of our heart affects our prayer, does it not? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's prayers like, you know, when you've been in a fight with your family, and you turn around and you go pray to God, "God, would you just take them out of my family?" I know none of you would do that. But the condition of our heart oftentimes leads to how we are making, building our prayers to God. And he's saying here that I'm always in every prayer of mine for you all, the whole church, making my prayer with joy from jail. Humbling, isn't it? Verse 5 goes on. It says, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So we've got this kind of set up. Paul is encouraging. He's letting them know he's been praying for them. He is thankful for them. He is praising God for them. Doing so with, I mean, joy is just abounding, all this stuff. And then in the midst of this, he's also saying, verse 5 again, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." So what he's saying is, you know, I'm doing this stuff and I'm able to do this stuff because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You go, "Well, Chris, we weren't there on the first day." No, we were not there on the first day. But the great thing is Acts chapter 16 that I've said, go read today, and you should go read today if I haven't told you, go read today. Acts 16 gives us a glimpse into the first day. God lays it on Paul's heart to go to Philippi. He ends up in Philippi, ministering in the city, leads a woman to the Lord, Lydia, that ends up getting baptized. This woman is like, the fashion queen, guru, whatever. There's all this other stuff going on. There's a crazy demon-possessed girl that's following him around. Like, reading this week, just like catching the picture of this girl and what she was doing. Like Paul and these guys are walking around and they're doing ministry stuff. And apparently this demon-possessed girl is kind of like following them everywhere where they're going and just going, they're ministers of the gospel. They're ministers of the gospel. You know, and just like crazy. And in the scripture, the text, go read Acts 16. Go read it, because it finally just says Paul was so annoyed that he turned around and said, demon, come out of her. And he cast the demon out of her because he's annoyed. I love that, by the way. It's just amazing. And then further on, Paul gets put in jail because he's teaching about Jesus. And then while he's in jail, an earthquake happens and it basically shakes all the jail cells free, and there's a jailer there and he's been torturing Paul. I mean, there's all this stuff, and that guy gets ready to kill himself when all the jails come, you know, all the jail cells come open because he thinks that they're all gonna, you know, flee. And Paul's like, no, don't kill yourself. It's cool, dude. We're just hanging out down here. It says the guy goes and gets some lights and he runs down there and he's looking for them, and he's looking all around, and sure enough, they're all in jail. They're still just like sitting in there with the doors wide open. And he goes, I want your God. Paul leads him to the Lord. Amazing stuff happening in this city. Paul has got a close thing for this city and for this church. And now, yet from prison again, he's writing them the letter of joy to encourage them to continue in the things that they're doing, but also to continue to push them in a trajectory, in a way that they're not going to stop. They're not going to get to some point and go, well, we finally made it. Finally got out of the school. We finally hired whatever. We finally were baptizing people in a horse trough or, you know, whatever. You know, we finally got a parking lot. Now we can just kind of sit back. And it's just this sobering reminder, the whole thing, this whole letter is going to be this sobering reminder that the mission of God is still going on. We've been talking about how God has called us to be a part of His story, not the other way around, not like, hey, God, come join me, I'm comfortable down here, you come be a part of this thing and we'll be cool. No, it's God's got a story going on, we join Him in His story, we join Him in His mission. And it doesn't stop. For us to understand that you know, we get off mission shift. We, you know, the vision leaks, is, you know, some people say, and you got to keep refilling it. You got to keep reminding yourself, you know, what is this about? And Paul is about to lift them up for what it is about. And he says in verse 6, he says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying there? He's saying a couple of things here. Number one, Jesus started a good work in you. You didn't start it in you. He started it in you. And he's going to finish it in you too. And I've got to be honest with you, I love this. I love this in a day and age when we can start so many things at our houses and never finish them. I know none of you have this, right? Am I the only person that has like a million things going on at their house? It's just like, we're not finished any of them. I'm not worried. And most of it's on me. Most of it's stuff I need to do. You know, the finish line is something that we dream of so many times, but we never see it in so many areas of our life. And Paul is saying right here that God is going to finish the work in us. On the day of Christ's return, he's going to finish it. But what's that mean? That means that there's a trajectory. That means that there's a mission until then. That means that we don't stop until then. We got to continually pursue God until then. That his work keeps on going. And in verse 7, Paul drops something that's really big. And it says this: "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." Man, I love this verse. This verse brings several different things for us. First of all, we see Paul, he starts to just even reason out for them to understand why he feels the way that he does about them. And he says, "It's because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace." Okay? Partakers of me of grace. Well, we know that grace comes through Jesus dying on the cross. It's the gospel. We understand that grace is something that we do not deserve, but it's been freely given. We got that. We understand that Jesus died, and when he died, he took on our sin that we might be forgiven if we would receive him as our Lord and Savior. Amazing thing happened here. And so now we can say, okay, well, Chris, you know, I get this. I know what grace is, you know, so anybody that is a believer in Christ and knows him as their Savior, they have the grace of Christ, right? Correct. But Paul's saying something here about this. He's saying something about the grace here. "Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace." He doesn't say this about the other churches. He might have a little favoritism going on here with this church. But he's about to make a point. He says, "Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." What Paul is saying is he's saying, "I'm thankful for you. Thankful for you all, because I have seen the transformation of what God has done in your lives. It has come through in ways such as my imprisonment," which, by the way, at that time in that society, for a church to have partnered up, so to speak, with a guy that's in jail, big deal. I mean, like, could put them in danger. But they basically were like, "You know what? We don't care. He was put in jail for preaching the gospel. We are about the gospel." And he's saying, "You have stood beside me." And I'm sure he had a bunch of people that did not. Of course, he was in and out of jail. Brother had a pretty good rap sheet going by the time it was over with. And it was all over teaching Jesus. "Both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." I would love to think that every church is defending and confirming the gospel on this Sunday morning, but the truth is that's not the truth. And I know that we talk a lot about it, but the truth is that it is the central thing in which we can gather around. The good news of Jesus Christ on the cross, dying for us while we were still sinners, is the reason that we can come and do this, and gives us reason to turn around and worship God and live our lives in worship to God. And so what Paul is saying here, and when he's saying, "I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace," is he's saying, "I hold you in my heart because I am seeing God work through you." You know what that means? That means that they're doing something for the kingdom of God. They're not sitting on their hands. They're not just showing up on a Sunday morning. They're doing something for the kingdom of God. He is seeing real transformation from the grace of Jesus Christ in their life. And I would have said this even if I didn't baptize him today. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying it. But I told him this a week ago. Terry, that I baptized just a little while ago. I have not known Terry for very long. But I told him this the other day. I said, Terry, I have not known you very long. I said, but despite the fact that I didn't know you before, God changed your life here recently. I can tell that you have been transformed. I didn't have to see the old Terry to see a transformed man of God that loves Jesus. That is what Paul sees in this church. They are showing fruit for who has saved them. And that's what it's about. We've got a mission. We've been called. Some of you, I think a lot of times you think, well, you know, only pastors get called. We've all been called to the ministry of the gospel. Gathered, scattered, church here, church out there, at your work. And here's the thing. If you don't follow through, if you're not following through, and Ben talked about this a little bit last week, if you're not following through with whatever it is that God has called you to, then you are dead weight to the church. There comes a point where you just got to be real with yourself. You got to quit jacking around with excuses. Breaks are good. I've been in churches for years where I knew some godly men and women. A lot of older churches. And I know we don't have just tons and tons of older people, but we do have quite a few. And some of these churches that I would be in, some of these people that I loved very much, I remember them saying things to me like this, like, you know, I've served for years and years and years, and you know, I think it's time for me to step down and retire from the ministry and let somebody else do God's work. And I'm just here to tell you that's not in Scripture. We just read what's in Scripture. It's verse 6, and it says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Until we're dead, we're on mission. If you know Jesus and you're breathing, you've been called to the ministry of the gospel. We've all been called to this. And here's the thing. When we are faithful with what God has called us to right this minute, many times God will call us to things that we never saw coming. I'm watching this happen with men in our church right now. I have the front row seat to watching multiple men right now who are in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s dealing with the fact that God has laid it on their heart that they are supposed to give up something and go do full-time ministry, and they don't even know what to do with that. And there's some of you in here that if you were faithful with what God was calling you to do right now, chances are one of these days he would call you to do something unbelievable. And it may not be full-time ministry. God needs people in the jobs that you're in to go in and be ministers of the gospel where you are right now. He needs us all to do that. It's not some like you're better if you get called to be a pastor thing. It's just a role thing. This is the role I've been given, the role you've been given. But the thing is that God will never take us down many of those roads unless we're faithful with what God has called us to right now. And from looking around the room, you're not dead yet. Okay? We're not dead yet. the trajectory thing is a thing. It is this book. It is Paul pushing, as he says later on in the scripture, pressing on. And Paul is pressing on these people at Philippi, and he's going to do that as we go through this book. You're going to see him continually pressing on them, encouraging them, going, you're doing a great job of this. You're doing a great job of this. Let me push you a little bit to do this. And make sure that you do it with joy. By the way, I'm in jail. Paul is able to speak into our lives because God spoke into his to pen these words on his behalf so that we would have them as God's word. And for us to recognize that God is calling us out of culture to influence culture, to reach the lost. By the way, this is still the same church that we started in a gymnasium 6 years ago that was about reaching our neighbors and reaching those people that don't know Jesus Christ. It's still that church. We're still on that mission. The trajectory is that. It is God's will for his church. And God is calling us to be faithful to it. I gotta love that he shows us and tells us ahead of time that he is going to, unlike we can't do so many times with so many things that we start, he is going to complete his work in us. And I know how many of you feel. You feel tired. I feel tired. Sick, even. Worn out. Burnt out. Give out. To have that piece of knowledge and understanding that he is going to complete his work in us gives us the ability to go, you know what? I'm not really burnt out. I'm not really give out. I'm just tired. I'm just whiny. Just falling into a sin pattern of I was going to take a break from the ministry for a while and then I was going to come back. What are our lives about? What are our lives for? To glorify God. To do his will. To be faithful to what he calls us to. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you dare, ask him and seek him with all of your heart and do so with a pure heart and ask him, God, what is it that you want from me? How do you want to use me? And here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. If you do that, God's going to start convicting your heart about certain things. Probably going to start with sin in your life and you're going to need to confess that and repent of it. But then furthermore, he's going to start convicting your heart about things. He's going to give you passions for that you've never had. To do things that don't do you any good. In fact, it may look like steps backwards in a business world or whatever it might be, but they are things that would glorify him and would further and advance his kingdom. If you start praying for those things, God's going to lay those things on your heart. But here, don't do this. Don't get hung up in the what God wants me to do. Be faithful in following him through the process. Because many times he's not going to reveal it to you right away. Be faithful to whatever it is that he has given you right now. I don't know what that is. And I don't tell you that for a guilt trip. I'm not interested in any guilt trips. I am interested in pushing this church, pushing the people of this church toward holiness and toward seeking what God has for them and wants them to do with their lives and for what he wants us to do as his church. And this morning we have promises of being completed. And for those of us that know Christ, we have the reminder of this, that we were dead, and while we were dead in our death, he came and he rescued us and he gave us life. We sang it just a few minutes ago. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. And we can't sing it if we don't mean it. And this morning, you may be here, and maybe you've never received Christ as your Savior. You don't even know what that looks like. But you feel God tugging and pulling at your heart. I want you to know we'd love to pray with you about that. We'd love to talk to you about it. We'd love to point you toward what it means to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There'll be some guys in the back of the room right back here as soon as I get done praying. We would love to pray with you about that. Nothing would fill our hearts more. For those of us that already know Christ, the fact that we've been rescued, the fact that we've been redeemed, is a reminder. It's a reminder of why we worship. It's a reminder that the gospel, as Paul so eloquently pointed out in verse 7 of this, and showing that in the grace that he was seeing in his brothers and sisters in Christ, that the gospel is the central piece for us, that the cross is the central piece for us to come around. And that death to life, lost to rescued, is nothing for us to get used to, but it's something to fuel our fire to be on the mission that God has called us to. Let's pray together. God, I pray that we could be like this church. God, we see a church that is willing to fight for the gospel. God, I pray that we would be a church that's willing to fight for the gospel. God, so many times we're fighting, but it's not for the gospel. God, I pray, Lord, that we would give up all the meaningless things of this world, like those fights. God, I pray, Lord, that we would cling to the cross. God, for those that have never come to know you, God, that are lacking life in you, God, I pray, Lord, that you would save them this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just pluck them out, that you would do a work in their heart. God, that you would show them what you've done on the cross can save them, no matter where they are, no matter where they've come from, no matter what they've done in their life. You love them way more than all of that. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. God, I pray, Lord, that our friends and our neighbors and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ would see the grace that has transformed our life lived out in an outward way. God, not for our glory, but for yours. Lord, we love you. And it's in the cross that we are able to worship you in your name.